south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. All right, now before we get into some real heavy stuff, I've got an email from Mikey. Hi, Mikey. He says, Johnny, I'm sending you along a PDF of something I think you're going to find very interesting. You probably heard in the international news this week, there are protesters at the U.S. Embassy in Tegucigalpa, Honduras, burning tires and lighting fires and such, protesting against things that are happening in Honduras that they believe the U.S. government is responsible for. Well, Johnny, I'm here to tell you I'm ex-military, formerly stationed for 2 years at Sotocano Air Base in Honduras. Bet you didn't even know Uncle Sam had an air base in Honduras, did you? Well, that's one they'll admit to, but there's others. So, Johnny, just to prove I'm not giving you any BS, I'm enclosing here a PDF informational document that's given to every single one of us military guys that's stationed at the base. It's 27 pages long, Johnny. If you take a look at it, you'll see they've left no stone unturned. You could say it's a practical guide to daily living for a U.S. soldier stationed in Honduras. I know, it sounds funny to say U.S. soldier stationed in Honduras. What the hell are we doing there anyway? Well, I urge you to have a look at this PDF because, Johnny, I run into people all the time who don't believe the U.S. has military bases all over the world. They just are in denial or don't want to hear about it. Though I think now the U.S. has bases in something like 150 countries out of 200. Anyhow, Johnny, take a look at this thing. Some parts you won't believe. Oh, and Johnny, feel free to pass this PDF on to your listeners if they want a copy. Be my guest. It's got tons of photos, too. And it's in English. Anyhow, Johnny, I've been a listener for a long time. I've even turned on some of my Air Force buddies to your show, too. And really, Johnny, it's just like you said. We know things the public doesn't know, and most of us really want to get the hell out of Dodge, too. And you know, as a rule, we don't talk much, except to each other. Not much to civilians, you know. Though you wouldn't believe how so many of us, when our hitch is up, want to get the hell out of harm's way, so to speak. And for me, when my hitch is up, my final destination, Latin America, naturally. Unfortunately, the military pays badly compared to the private sector, so few of us have any savings to make the move, so we have to put in our 20 years and get our pensions before we can do that. Unfortunately, by then, after 20 years, most of us have wives and families, divorces, kids, responsibilities, and big debts back home, making the long-term plans of becoming an expat less and less realistic as time goes on. The message here is that not all of us military guys are gung-ho macho testosterone machines. Many of us smarter ones see there's something drastically wrong with the U.S. and it can't go on. So we talk about Plan Bs too. Although it seems almost impossible to pull off unless you're single. Or if you have a wife, she has to be on board with the plan or it'll never work. As for me, Johnny, I was stationed a couple of years in Colombia, Panama, and then Honduras, and now I'm back in the States. I'm divorced, no kids, but my new fiancé is all on board with getting the hell out of Dodge. Sounds hard to believe you could find a woman like that since my ex thought I was crazy from the get-go to even entertain the idea. So that's how it sits. My fiancée Julie's all on board for it, except for one thing. She's a Scientologist. Though, Johnny, she appears sane in every other way. It's a big relief. She never pushes it, almost never talks about it, so I guess she's a Scientologist light. Though, obviously, she did want to know if I had ever run into a Scientologist in my 5.5 years in Latin America. Truthfully, Johnny, I never met a Scientologist till I ran into her. Fact is, I didn't even find out she was a Scientologist till about the third or fourth date. It's a good thing, too, because if she'd have brought it up right away, it would have been a sure deal killer. All I knew about Scientology was that it was kind of a cult, inhabited by a bunch of high-living Hollywood f***s like Cruise and Travolta with rumored sexuality issues. So, bottom line, Johnny, what's the story on Scientology in Latin America? If anyone would know, you would, Johnny. You've been down there a couple of decades. You live in off the tourist trail. You speak Spanish. You meet a lot of people. You get around. So, Johnny, what's the story on Scientology? Keep up the good work. Signed, T. Top Gun Mikey. Top Gun Mikey, shades of Tom Cruise, huh? Oh, and I bet you're not a little pipsqueak, as the name Mikey might imply. Probably built and ripped like an MMA fighter. Anyway, Mikey, good question. And this PDF on that Honduran military base you were stationed at, wow, what an eye-opener. Gonna read a chunk of it later in the show. But first, Scientology. Oh, and Mikey, you're right. I have the same bias as you. If a girl told me on a first date she was a Scientologist, I think I'd be looking for the exits before the waitress even dropped off the menus. The weird thing to me, you know, is Scientology gets such a bad rap these days. You wonder about people who join it, and you wonder even more about people who would admit to it. But what about Scientology in Latin America? Well, you know, the truth is I never met a Scientologist when I lived up in the States so many years ago. But here in Latin America in 2019, I'm sure it exists, and I even did a little web search in Spanish. And yeah, they've got meetup groups in all medium and in large cities, but I've never personally met a single one. No one who's admitted to it anyway. Although I do remember a couple of occasions where the mention of Scientology came up at a party or get-together, festival, whatever. And most Latinos, in fact, 100% of Latinos in the discussion, didn't even know what Scientology was. They'd never heard of it before. It seems like it's pretty much a phenomena born, bred, and stuck in the USA. But I can tell you a few things about Scientology that I picked up along the way that most people don't know. First of all, I read that hugely popular book that put Scientology on the map. It was called Dianetics by L. Ron Hubbard. And I read one or two of his science fiction books. You know, he was a science fiction writer before he came up with the Scientology thing. And that Dianetics thing, I read that book, I think, in 1974. It didn't really make much of an impression on me. It seemed more like it was written by a guy who was under the influence of magic mushrooms. You know, those were the hippie days. Lots of existential gibberish and woo-woo back then. Anyway, Dianetics made no big impression on me. So I was quite surprised when a little while later, L. Ron Hubbard, the science fiction author and Dianetics guy, came out with his own religion, Scientology. And I know, especially these days, there are tell-all books coming out of Hollywood talking about the cultish activities going on there. Now, you might have heard me mention before, I like to read biographies, and so I read an unauthorized biography of L. Ron Hubbard. Man, was that guy a strange bird. He became so rich off of Dianetics and Scientology that he built something like 15 homes all over the United States. And in his main houses, he had Coke machines installed in every room. He used to drink a 12-pack or more of Coke a day. So you'd walk into his office, den, living room, wherever, and there'd be a real fire engine red old-time Coke machine in there, stocked to the gills with Coca-Cola. Not Diet Coke, but high octane, the real thing. But you didn't have to put in a dime to get your Coke, not in L. Ron Hubbard's house. They were free. Yep, back then, Cokes were a dime. Oh, and here's another stray fact about L. Ron Hubbard. He was the youngest Eagle Scout in Boy Scout history, and at one time had the record of 21 merit badges. Now, the thing that really put me off Scientology from the get-go is the word science in it. Same with Christian Scientists. Talk about irony. As if real science and religion have anything in common at all. For example, get this. Scientologists actually believe, as L. Ron Hubbard says in his writings, if you can clear your mind of past painful memories, you can auto-repair your body. For example, Hubbard says, regrow stunted and missing body parts, teeth, fingers, limbs, that means schlongs too, I guess, as well as auto-cure blindness, cancer, and psychological and brain disorders. Yep, that's right. He said auto-cure psychological and brain disorders, which from what I can see doesn't seem to be working out too well for Mr. Cruz or Mr. Travolta, though I could be wrong. But back to Mikey's initial question, are there Scientologists here in Latin America? Well, there must be, because you can find their meetup groups on the net. However, from my experience, you have a better chance of bumping into Elvis. Enough said about that. Now, since Mikey mentioned he was stationed in Honduras at a U.S. military base, well, that brings us to the unholy subject of U.S. government involvement in Latin American politics, etc. Now, of course, everyone with a half a brain knows the U.S. tries to get involved in everybody's business, everyone's politics. And you know that business about the Chinese or Russian collusion in U.S. presidential politics, that always makes me laugh because That's exactly what the U.S. does everywhere in the world. I mean, look, Uncle Sam's in the business of toppling and misdirecting governments that don't play ball with them. But you knew that already. Now, you may have seen articles just in the last couple of days, like this one. Headline is, U.S. Border Patrol agents will deploy to Guatemala to train agents side by side. Ha ha, as if that's new news. Man, I'll tell you, every single Latin American country except Venezuela and Cuba have U.S. forces and, quote, contractors with boots on the ground, ostensibly to train up their military and police forces to first world standards, which will never happen. It never has. Oh, and get this. Over the years, I've talked to lots of Latin American military and police. Of course, they love to talk to gringos, and if you sit down and have a couple drinks with them, they really open up, especially when you're buying. The fact is, practically every single Latin military officer, you know, captain, colonel, lieutenant, that I've ever met, has been to the United States for some kind of training. How'd that happen? Of course, on your dime. Now, as for the regular military and police grunts, the privates, the corporals, the sergeants, they don't ship them up to the States for training, but they bring U.S. military and police attaches down on contract to train these guys up in their own countries. Again, with your wasted tax dollars. As a result, and it always works out this way, the U.S. equips the Latin cops and military with all kinds of high-tech equipment, the latest, greatest firearms and military gear. And where does some of that good stuff end up? In the hands of narcos. How did that happen? Because, as you've probably figured out already, the cops and the military have more allegiance to money than they do their own country. Of course, there are always some exceptions. Though it really is true, everyone has their price, and here in Latin America, it's damn low. So anyway, in the last few days, people have been sending me links to articles saying the U.S. government's down in Guatemala, even Honduras now, training up local cops and military guys, in this recent case, they say, to assist in stemming the flow of illegal immigrants up through Mexico and on through to the U.S. But believe me, it's been going on a long time. It's nothing new. In fact, it even says in this Reuters article from yesterday, quote, U.S. Border Patrol agents and other Department of Homeland Security law enforcement officers are being sent to Guatemala to assist in training missions with local authorities as part of a 2-year plan aimed at decreasing migration flows to the U.S. And then it says, and this is the tell-all, Acting Homeland Security Secretary Kevin McLennan says, the U.S. has invested in a continuing presence in Central America, and it's been ongoing for several years now. Uh-huh. Then it says, in addition to U.S. Border Patrol agents being stationed, personnel from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, Homeland Security Investigations, and Enforcement and Removal Operations Divisions will be deployed in the region. So what's that really saying? They're just confirming what I've been seeing over and over again, year after year. U.S. military, FBI, CIA, NSA, and other contractors are here and have an open presence in every Latin country except for Venezuela and Cuba. Meanwhile, as mentioned earlier, and you may have seen this on the news, in Tegucigalpa, known as Tegucigalpa here, the capital of Honduras, for the last couple of days there have been protests outside the U.S. Embassy, people burning tires and such, and the news articles are saying these are teachers and doctors and nurses protesting U.S. interference in politics there, which to me doesn't sound quite right. That's not news. The U.S. has been involved in Honduras forever. Look, you just heard me read that email from Mikey, who was stationed there for a couple of years at a military base that was first constructed there in 1982. So if you think big-time U.S. interference in Latin American politics is something new, I'm going to read a few excerpts from an article in The Nation magazine, and it's entitled, How Hillary Clinton Militarized U.S. Policy in Honduras. It says, Hillary Clinton, when she was Secretary of State, used the State Department to aid in a coup and regime change in Honduras, using the supposed Benevolent Humanitarian Aid Agency, USAID, which has been known to interfere with elections and promote coups in various Latin countries. Yeah, right. And what did Hillary and the DNC accuse the Russians of doing? All right, let's back up a bit. Now, you might not realize it, but there's an agency called USAID. It's a quasi-U.S. so-called humanitarian aid agency, which, by the way, has a huge complex of 4 square blocks on the southern edge of Guatemala City. They've also got similar buildings in most Latin American capital cities. Now, you think by looking at that name, USAID, that it's a kind, gentle, do-gooder, kind of lend-a-helping-hand agency. They do dole out billions. In fact, last year, their budget was $23 billion. It's the second largest funded humanitarian aid program in the world. Only if you look it up on Wikipedia, which in itself is a corrupt resource, you'll see they come right out and say that USAID has been accused of being a cover or an arm of the CIA. Anyway, it says in 2012, Hillary Clinton started a program called Honduras Convive, a program set up to function under the wing of USAID, which eventually became a staging ground for the second largest deployment of U.S. special ops outside of number one, the Middle East. All right, I won't bore you with too many more facts, but it says USAID, the supposed benevolent aid agency, created another agency within itself called the OTI, the Office of Transition Initiatives. Don't you love that doublespeak? The OTI was created and sanctioned by Congress in 1994 under Bill Clinton. Its job description? To intervene under the direction of the U.S. State Department, the Pentagon, and other security agencies in places like Afghanistan, Haiti, Colombia, Honduras, etc., etc., to boost support for local governments backed by the United States. Then it says, sometimes, as it has done in Cuba and Venezuela, its programs are directed at stirring opposition to leftist regimes. Then it says, in 2012, Hillary Clinton gave the office a major boost after she became Secretary of State. Its programs are overseen by the malignant criminal pusbag Secretary of State. Oops, my mistake. I misread that. Oh, and get this. It says, the Congressional Research Service noted in a 2009 report, the OTI's activities are overly political and based on the idea that timely and creative U.S. assistance can help tip the balance towards outcomes that advance U.S. foreign policy and objectives. You think? Then it says, U.S. contractor documents obtained about the OTI program show it was based on communication strategies to win the hearts and minds of the locals. And the contractors, U.S. contractors, overseeing the project, came to Honduras directly after their regime change efforts in Afghanistan. Turns out part of Hillary's Honduran project was subcontracted out to a company owned by counterinsurgency advisor David Kilcullen, who just happened to be the senior counterinsurgency advisor to Army General David Petraeus in both Iraq and Afghanistan. The contracts went into effect October 16, 2012, under Hillary and Obama. USAID officials confirm Kilcullen's company, Sirius Associates, received two such grants to assist USAID and OTI. Then it says the players in this provide a glimpse into the privatized world of covert operations managed by USAID and OTI, and how they dovetail with the broader U.S. foreign policy goals of supporting governments friendly to U.S. economic and strategic interests. Then it says, under Bill Clinton's 2010 Quadrennial Diplomacy and Development Project, OTI's programs were expanded and strengthened, and the State Department contracted most of its projects to a hand-selected group of private aid companies based in Washington. Big surprise, huh? Hey, I don't want you to fall asleep now, but just one more thing. Then it says, in the contracting company, there was another associate involved in the Honduras program, William Upshore, who taught counterinsurgency tactics in Afghanistan for the Army's 10th Mountain and 82nd Airborne Divisions. And wouldn't you know it, now in 2019, he's a high-paid associate with intelligence contractor Booz Allen Hamilton. Now, doesn't that just make you want to vomit? Yep, it's that revolving door of maggotous pustulent slime bags. And I know, you know, I mean that in the most heartfelt Christian kind of way. Dios bendiga. All right, then it says, according to the USAID OTI plan, hundreds of U.S. Special Forces and Navy SEALs came into Honduras starting in 2014, ostensibly to train Honduran units for civilian law enforcement, gringo style. That, according to the Wall Street Journal. They reported the training is set to expand the $1 billion Alliance for Prosperity program for the region that was unveiled in January of 2015 by then VP Skunk Breath Joe Biden. Oops, sorry, my mistake. I misread that too. Think I'm due for a bucket of those dollar store reading glasses, don't you think? Then finally, we've got this quote from Lawrence Wilkerson, the former deputy to the Secretary of State Colin Powell. He said, quote, "I've pretty much been appalled by what the U.S. policy has done with respect to Honduras." He says, "If I could sum it up for what it's been for so many, many years, it was to protect all the criminals in power, basically to maintain U.S. interests." All right, it's me, Johnny, again. And like I said, it's not just Guatemala, Honduras, Mexico, Colombia, and Panama. The fact is, the U.S. has been continuously paying off corrupt Latin politicians for generations. Oh, by the way, isn't it funny? Ecuador, whose social security and healthcare system are totally broke, virtually bankrupt. Well, after throwing Julian Assange to the wolves just a couple of weeks ago, what a coincidence that Ecuador's president, Lenin Moreno, met just 2 weeks ago with an envoy of U.S. diplomats who awarded a huge U.S. donation aid package to the country. And Moreno, the president, has just invited, get this, USAID to come on in and set up an office. Yep, that's the way it's done, you know. If I was king, I'd hang those guys. But I'm not, and I'm not a queen either, thank God. Bottom line, I'm so glad I'm living here in Latin America. Even though it seems like there are U.S. State Department snakes under every rock. The thing is that this cannot go on forever. Personally, I want to be as far away as possible from the head of the snake in Washington, D.C. You know as well as I do that U.S. cannot maintain a $21 trillion deficit. There's just so much wrong with the U.S. that could never be fixed in the voting booth. But you knew that already, right? Now, let's talk about this special little PDF I have here from Lieutenant Mikey. By the way, if you want to copy this PDF, he said I can shoot it out to you. I tell you, you really have to look at this thing. You won't believe it. And now, just a few of the highlights. It starts out on the first page with a letter from the commander. It says, "Congratulations, dear service member, on your assignment to the Joint Task Force JTF Bravo. You have just joined a very unique base at Sotocano Air Base in Honduras, operating throughout Central America. JTF-Bravo is a subordinate command of U.S. Southern Command responsible for a joint operations area which encompasses 7 Central American countries." Then it says, "Service in the JTF-Bravo unit will provide to be both challenging and incredibly rewarding for you." Oh yeah, rewarding, I bet. Now listen closely. It says, "JTF-Bravo is a joint organization comprised of more than 500 U.S. military personnel at this base and more than 500 U.S. and Honduran civilians who will serve across 5 different units, including the 612th Air Base Squadron, etc., etc., la-da-da." Then it says, "Our force executes operational missions on a daily basis in our very complete environment. This is a deployed environment. Our service members possess the opportunity to be deployed throughout Latin America." That doesn't sound all too good. Then it says, "Please take an opportunity to review this welcome guide as you make preparations for your new home and assignment at Sotocano Air Base. Like any overseas deployment, there are many details you will need to facilitate to have a smooth transition. This welcome guide contains expansive information about our facilities, where you'll be assigned, administrative details, etc., etc. Signed, the base commander," and I won't say his name on the air, since I don't much feel like drone ducking right now. I don't need the exercise. Anyway, you have to see this thing. It's not classified, of course, but I doubt it was intended for JQ Public. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and I'll send it right out to you. All right, just a little more. In section one, it says, "A history of our progress through unity. U.S. and Honduran forces have conducted combined military trainings as early as 1965. In 1983, the Honduran government requested an increase in the size and number of U.S. participation in these exercises. So, Joint Task Force Bravo was established in August 1984 to exercise command and control of U.S. forces and exercises in the Republic of Honduras." Then it says, "Before our base was designated JTF-Bravo in 1984, the task force here was known as JTF-11 and then changed to JTF-Alpha. Here's our mission statement, what we do. We conduct and support joint operations actions and activities throughout the joint operations area of Central America, maintaining a forward presence in order to enhance regional stability, security, and cooperation." All right, I'm scrolling down. Lots of great stuff here. But on page 14, there is a basic guideline for military life at the Sotocano Air Force Base. This has everything. It's even got a section on pay and allowances. It says military will receive hardship duty pay for location here in the amount of $100 a month per person. Military members with dependents will receive a family separation allowance in the amount of $250 a month. On page 21, they even have a section on your spiritual and physical well-being, offering 100% confidential drug, alcohol, and addiction, non-reportable psychological counseling services. I guess they figured out since Vietnam, guys stationed abroad like to get f***ed up. They even have a section on the mess and dining facilities. On page 19, it says, the dining facilities offer a great variety of foods on the main line and the short order line. Menu includes many ethnic meals, taco, potato, and pasta bars on different days, too. Just a little touch of the old neighborhood, isn't that nice? And this is telling, it says, only military personnel, Department of Defense civilians, and approved government contractors, and official and unofficial guests of the commander. You get that? Unofficial guests are authorized to use our dining facility. Well, I guess that kind of tells you what kind of shady characters might be hanging around. Oh, and how about this on page 24? Useful Spanish phrases you should know and memorize. For example, I am a member of the armed forces. Soy miembro de las Fuerzas Armadas de los Estados Unidos. They must have 50 phrases here, but here's another. It says, I want to go to the American embassy. Quiero ir a la embajada de los Estados Unidos. Please speak slowly. Habla despacio, por favor. And of course, all off-duty military personnel should know this one. I'm thirsty. Tengo sed. Then, after a couple of drinks, it's time to use that other phrase again. Please speak slowly. Habla despacio, por favor. Then there's a section on mingling with the locals. For example, it says on page 25, consular officers are authorized to notarize documents and issue single statements. A single statement is required for U.S. citizens intending to marry a local Honduran. Hey, and there's much, much more. I suppose you're wondering about condoms, right? Well, there's a sale this week at the PX, but they're out of extra small. Anyway, just a little heads up here on the ways your government flushes your tax dollar down the toilet. All right, we're getting towards the end of the show now, but don't forget, I've got my July 2019 Expat Insider Seminar coming up in just a few weeks. So if you're looking to put your plan B in high gear, come down and drink from the fire hose. You won't regret it. Just go to www.thenewexpat.com and click on Johnny's seminar link. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, you can schedule a one-on-one phone call with me. But first, download my free Plan B questionnaire at www.thenewexpat.com. Better yet, if you want to get your Plan B going from right up there in the States, just sign up for my 9-hour Expat Essentials course. Get the perfect Plan B blueprint by going to theexpatfiles.com/academy. Nos vemos!